Well, I'm proud to welcome Jimmy Jerkins again to Racetrackers. Hello, Jimmy.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Jimmy, thank you for having us on, for coming on and joining us. We I noticed that the feature race this Saturday at Aqueduct is the Audie Schiller, and it made me think of you and the great success you had with Audie Schiller. And I know some of our younger viewers may not be 100% familiar with him, and I just thought we'd reminisce a little bit about his career.
Okay.
I know he was a multiple graded stakes winner on the grass for you, and culminated, I guess, with the biggest win being the 2005 Breeders' Cup Mile at Belmont. But tell us a little bit about him and how he developed.
Well, he came to me. He came to me in the spring of his 2-year-old year, and he came well prepared. Had a really good bottom on him. Came from Camden, South Carolina. A fellow named Jerry Goswell had him down there and really did a good job of legging him up and giving him a real good bottom. So he was in, you know, when he came up to me, we could go right on with him with his breezes and stuff. So that was a big head start. So and by the time he had been working well on the dirt, and I wasn't really thinking of the turf because he was working well enough on the dirt. And then I remember it was getting toward the end of the Belmont Spring meet right before Saratoga, and I went up to the office to check his full papers and make sure they were in the office. And then I found them in the file, and I knew it earlier, but then I was reminded by looking at his full papers that his mother was a real good turf mare, and she was by Majestic Light, and that was always almost 100% turf. And he was by El Prado also. So then I said, boy, you know, it might. And it was the same day I looked in the condition book, and there was a 6-furlong maiden race for 2-year-olds, 6 furlongs on the turf, closing day of the Belmont meet. And I was planning on running them in Saratoga, but I said, God, he's had enough work. He's got enough work into him. Let's get him started. And then that's where he made his first start. He came from way, way, way out of it and got up with an unbelievable fury to win in the last couple of jumps with Migliori. That was a big thrill.
Well, I mean, you speak about that because, and he became, for our younger viewers who may not remember, he became a really real fan favorite, if I recall, because he just tried so hard. He didn't seem to have
And he had that catchy name named after somebody, you know, that nobody knew, but except Mr. Entenmann. You know, it was a dear friend of Mr. Entenmann. That's who he was named after. And it was a catchy kind of a name. And he did have one of those, he did, you know, race fans tend to like horses that make that fast finish. You know, that really captures their hearts. And it is more exciting than a front runner most of the time to most people. And he was a big long striding horse. And when he got out to the clear, he just leveled off and he looked beautiful. So I could see why he was a fan favorite.
Yeah, he just seemed to try so hard at all times, and you know, he at times, if I recall, he didn't seem to be the smoothest mover, but just determined as can be.
Yeah, he had kind of a rocking horse motion to him, which is you usually don't see good horses with that. I don't, you know, when you see a horse go like that, when you ask them to run and they go like that, it usually looks like they have a lot of wasted action, but for some reason his was a little different. He seemed to be covering the ground good anyway. So, you know, with him, it was just that was just his way of going, and he made it work.
Now, he was one of those horses too that I think, you know, everybody thought maybe he had reached his potential when he won a big race and. You know, there was always when you go to the Breeders' Cup. Of course, you're always afraid of the Europeans, but it was run at your home base, and he took on a tremendous field. And tell us about your thoughts going in and just that victory.
Well, leading up to it, Mr. Entenmann is the only time we ever had a little disagreement. He had a lot of the people were getting into his ear. Going up to Canada and running against Frankel's horse up in Canada. And I said, I don't understand doing that, Mr. Entenmann. We got a perfect prep race a month before the race, the same distance on the same turf course. The race was called the Kelso, and I just didn't see the point of doing that. It's gonna take a lot more out of him to ship up there and run and come back. I really put my foot down, and I thought we should stay here and run at Belmont, which we did. He ended up getting beat. He beat Migliori. Asked him. He kind of thought he had to stay closer to the pace to win that day, and he kind of, you know, he was a horse that you wanted to let settle once the time. But he got asked him kind of early because he thought he should lay close the way the turf course was playing, and I think it told on him very late. What's called Funfair. Grand Motions beat him in the Kelso by a neck or a head or something, and the poor horse ended up breaking his hind leg when they ran him back in the Breeders' Cup mile, I remember. It was devastating for Graham and everybody in the poor horse. I'm going to forget that. But, but he came out of the race good and trained sensational up to the Breeders' Cup, and we got Garrett Gomez, who was the rider who was in his absolute prime at the time, and gave him $1 million ride, and, you know, the combination of everything got him home.
Well, excellent. I mean, you know, he was a staple on the New York circuit. I think he won stakes races 3 straight years or so, and he won for 4 years or so. And now they've named this race after him, which is nice. And I guess you have, it looks like you'll have the at least the morning line favorite in the race with Delta Prince.
Delta's been good. He's, he hasn't run since Saratoga, but he's proven he can run good off of works, and his last two works have been really solid. So, yeah, I'm just hoping the turf course doesn't, I don't think he cares for it being too soft. We didn't get anywhere near the rain today that they thought they would. So maybe, and I don't think any is predicted after today. So, I think we'll have a decent turf course for him to run on.
Excellent. Well, I mean, it would be fitting if you won that. But really, I just wanted for our listeners, who some of whom remembered Artie Schiller, some of whom might not. It's always nice. It's got a certain pride you have to have in having a race named after one of your star performers, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is. It is an honor, no question. And he was a fan favorite, and his record speaks for itself. It's a shame he got beat. It's a shame he lost the Eclipse Award, though. I thought that was very unfair. He beat the horse fair and square. That the was all no contest except those two for who was going to be it, Luana's Animal or Artie, and he beat him fair and square in the biggest, in the Breeders' Cup, and Luana's Animal got it anyway, which I thought was a travesty.
Well, I tend to agree. I hadn't focused upon that, but I know now there's even discussion about whether or not, horses who beat other horses may have had better trips or better figures, and I've never understood it. I mean, I think championships are decided on the racetrack. That's why we run the races, and I feel pretty strongly about that. But if you beat somebody, you beat somebody. And, it's too – well, I guess that would have been nice to have won that, but that's water under the bridge. I'm glad he's being remembered here. And Jimmy, I know you're busy, but I want to thank you so much for joining us, as always.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks, Jimmy Jerkins, everyone. Thanks again, Jimmy.
Okay, Bill.